All right. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, and draw us ever more toward your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. One of my favorite new words that's entering into the lexicon and our everyday language is to take the word adult and first turn it into a verb, as in, it's time for that kid to learn how to adult a little bit better. So being to adult then being quite simply behaving like an adult. But the form I prefer, and the one that's growing a lot more in popularity, is to then take that verb, turn it back into a noun, a gerund, for those of you who know your grammar, and so basically turn it into the word adulting. And so I spent some time this past weekend paying some bills and doing some yard work, you know, adulting. Or adulting, it turns out, is actually hard work sometimes. It tends to be used to describe activities where you do something mundane and yet important. And of course, it's normally said by younger people who are transitioning into adulthood as they adult more. So, if you have never used that word before, but now know what it means, don't use it. You are too old. It is the price we pay for being an adult. But you need to know how to use the word and what the word is, so when you hear it, you'll understand that person is adulting. They're practicing the art of paying bills, of doing yard work, of doing those kinds of things. But I think I like the word because inherently, there's a recognition by anyone using the word that part of what it means to grow up is that there are simply things that you have to do. They may be boring, they may not be fun, they may at times seem like or actually be work, but they are the things you're supposed to do. Implicitly, we know that doing the grown-up thing, doing the mature thing, adulting, means that we're going to have to withhold our instant gratification for a time. That sometimes we have to put off the fun for the important. That sometimes we have to do what we've committed to do, even though things have changed and I'd rather do this other thing. You know what? I said I was going to do that. And the mature thing to do, the grown-up thing to do, the adult thing to do would be to do what I committed to do. That's what adults do. Maturity is doing the right thing even when it's not easy. Maturity is doing the hard thing even when it's not fun. Maturity is withholding pleasure in the moment even when it's not what you really want to do. To be mature, we have to be willing to pay the price of maturity. Which brings us to our series. Today we continue our new series looking at Christian maturity. Not general maturity, and definitely not just getting older, because those are totally different things. But in this series, we're specifically talking about growing more mature in our faith. Because the fact of the matter is that most of us, I think, should be farther along on our journey. Our discipline should be steadier. Our perseverance should be stronger. Our faith should be deeper. It should affect and alter our lives and our relationships more. Though maybe it's more helpful simply to show you what this looks like if it gets lived out, to tell you why this could be helpful, why you may want to be mature in the faith, because I don't think that's self-evident anymore. As I think about the people that I know who I would call mature Christians, they all share some of the same depth and character. They all seem to, for example, weather storms better than other people, than mere mortals. Partly due to the fact that this isn't their first storm, but also because they've seen God faithfully bring them through storms before. And you know what? If he did it there, and he did it there, and he did it again there, and he did it again there, maybe God will continue to be faithful in my life today. They all seem to be more self-sufficient in their faith. In other words, they are proactive about their faith. They own their own faith and aren't reliant on others to help keep them moving forward. And then they all seem to be more aware of God in their present lives, For them, God isn't distant and God's not foreign, but he's there. He's with them. He's in a relationship with them in some capacity or other. And in the midst of all that, they somehow also stay humble. They continue learning. They continue growing, all the while helping others with their faith. My hope is that this is a part of who we aspire to be. My hope is that if we could write our own obituaries or draft our own eulogies, that our mature faith would figure into those statements. My hope is that we aren't content with a lukewarm faith, or more likely, more often, a beginner's faith, but that we would aspire to greater depth and a living and practical faith. Of course, the worry is that we don't know how to get there. I worry that we don't know what that would look like in our lives. And I worry that we don't understand the price we would have to pay, even if we also don't understand the value that we would find. So we're going to work on that in this series. We're going to do that by looking at the person of Joshua as we strive to understand what Christian maturity looks like and how it's formed. So if you would, I would invite and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. This is book 6 in the Bible, so it's toward the beginning. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Amen. This passage marks the official transition between Moses and Joshua. Moses has passed away, and now it's time for Joshua to really step up and lead. Of course, as we talked about last week, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. I mean, this was Moses, who with God's help freed the people from slavery from the Egyptians after 400 years, who parted a sea, not a stream, not a river. He parted a sea This is Moses who received from God's own hand the Ten Commandments, and then who followed that up by also receiving and recording all the rest of the law. This is Moses who brought water out of a rock in a desert. A desert. Oh, and provided food for them too, also in a desert. This is Moses who met and talked with God face to face. Okay, Joshua, you're up. Show us what you got. Come on, buddy. Like, we're on your side here. That's where the bar is. Good luck. Not only does he have big shoes to fill, he also's got a pretty big job to do. Take these people and lead them across the Jordan River and take the promised land from the current inhabitants. Of course, remember, the Israelites have very little military experience at this point. They aren't all that organized. Frankly, they don't listen or follow directions very well either. And even Moses had trouble keeping them from turning away from him, turning away from God, and going back to slavery in Egypt. Oh, and remember that the people in the Promised Land probably have a good deal of organization. They have some practice defending their lands. Their cities are walled and heavily fortified. Oh, and as we talked about last week, some of them may be giants. Okay, Joshua, you're up. We will follow you wherever you lead. Let's go. Let's do this. Maybe this is why God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous so many times in this passage. You see, you're going to need to be strong and courageous to lead this people. You're going to need to be strong and courageous to take control of the promised land. And you're going to need to be strong and courageous to follow me well. Interestingly, the word courageous can also be translated as resolute. So not only are you going to need to be physically strong, but you're also going to need to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually strong as well. And as we're going to see, he does it. He is strong, he is courageous, and he will step into this responsibility, and he becomes mature. So today I want us to spend some time looking at Joshua's maturity. I want to start with why he may need maturity. Why is that so important? What's the value there? Then I want us to look at how does he grow his maturity before finally asking the question, so is it worth it? I mean, if this is the value, but this is the cost, is it worth it? Is it worth the work? But we'll start today by looking at why Joshua needs maturity. How will it help him? And the reality is that the only way that Joshua is going to be successful is through being mature, through being strong and courageous, because the mature have what Joshua will need. The mature possess a rooted and grounded strength. They have a resoluteness and steadiness. They have a courage and fortitude. Through all the trials and all the pitfalls and all the griefs and all the unknowns of life, their strength and courage, their maturity, somehow gets them through better than everyone else. Joshua is about to try and lead this undisciplined and ragtag group of people out of a desert and into an occupied territory. This will require an extreme amount of maturity. He will need to lead with poise and tact. He'll have to lead with force and influence. He'll have to lead with clarity and vision. He's going to need to use all of the resources at his disposal and more to get this job done. But his maturity is going to have to be deeper than that, because Joshua will need to do more than simply be strong and courageous. In fact, maybe the be strong and courageous part of our passage is actually supposed to also be coupled with the command to not be afraid or discouraged. Be strong and courageous, don't be afraid or discouraged. Because this isn't just about leading well. It's not just about having kind of an external strength. It's also about an internal strength, an internal courageousness, mastery over myself. When Joshua faces the unknown, how will he not be afraid? When Joshua makes mistakes or suffers setbacks, how will he not be discouraged? When the situation in front of him looks unwinnable, how will he not despair? This is why it's so important to be mature. Joshua needs to be this kind of mature. And yet we'll also see this is who he is and this is who he's becoming. The only way that he'll be able to do what he's being asked to do is by being mature in his faith. This is going to take a depth and vision and power that go way beyond what's normal and everyday. And this can't be some kind of short-term change or some new strategy, or it's not about just, Josh, you're going to have to dig a little bit deeper. You have it in you, you just got, that's not what this is. This is going to take more than he would have had on his own. This is going to take an accumulation of all the work of maturity that has come before. In other words, this isn't about something that Joshua is just going to be able to summon in the moment. When I need the maturity, it'll just be there. Instead, Joshua has continually chosen the mature time and time and time again, and that will give him the foundation he needs to then be mature in the moment. And remember here, Joshua isn't just a young kid here. I always picture Joshua as like 15 or 20 years old. I don't know why. There may have been a children's book back in the day that had a young Joshua. We sang the song, Joshua for the Battle of Jericho. And it was always a 20-year-old there. I don't know why. But that's not the case. He might have been, 10, 15, 20 in last week's passage, when he was a spy, when he was Moses' aide. But then the Israelites, after that, spent the next 40 years in the desert. So Joshua is somewhere between, let's say, 50 and 70 years old at this point in the story. So when I'm talking about becoming mature, I'm not talking about kids becoming good adults. I'm talking about adults becoming more faithful and more mature. So I guess the question is that who we are becoming? Do we have this kind of strength and stamina? Are we laying this kind of foundation and base in our lives for what comes next? Will we have what it takes when the time comes, when we are tested? Because again, maturity isn't something achieved in the moment. It's something built over a lifetime. It's cumulative faithfulness. So how do we do it? How do we build it? If this is why we need maturity, how do we become mature? And I think God gives Joshua the blueprints in our passage. He kind of bookends the description with all of those be strong and courageouses. God tells Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. It's interesting that out of all the things that God could tell Joshua in the days leading up to entering into the promised land and in the days following the death of Moses, God's main point to Joshua is to turn to the scriptures. Joshua is just about to try and lead this people across a river and into an occupied territory, and there's a mess of stuff that's about to have to happen. Seems like God would have some specific things to say about what's about to happen. Strategy. Try this. Don't do this. Duck. Here's how the land is laid out. Here's what you're going to need to do. Or, this is days after Moses just passed away. Moses just died. Joshua has been Moses' aide for more than 40 years. Has watched Moses lead. Has been there with Moses time and time again. This mentor, this father figure, just passed away. Seems like God would have some things to say about grief, and I'll be with you, and don't worry, and we'll get through I'll be present with you in this grief. And God's point seems to be, Joshua, turn toward the scriptures. And don't just turn toward them, but keep them available. Keep them in your mouth. Meditate upon them, and ultimately do them. In other words, the secret to and the foundation of spiritual maturity seems to be deep and continual focus on the Scriptures. And this isn't something you can do with just a glance every once in a while. It's something you have to dig into, something you actually have to study. It becomes something you see the world through. It has to become important to us, important for us. We have to start to see the value in it. We have to allow it to change us. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to take work, it's going to take discipline, it's going to take consistency. And yet, of all the things that God could have highlighted about the secret of maturity, of all the things God could have highlighted in light of the fact that you're about to go into this huge trial and you're coming from this huge sense of grief, what God highlights is spend some time with the Scriptures. And what's more, God seems to be telling Joshua that now this is his responsibility. That he has to become proactive about his faith. He has to own it. Because remember, Moses is now gone. And this means that it's going to get harder. I mean, before you could just follow Moses. You could learn from Moses. You could ask Moses. But what happens when your Moses is gone? What happens when your Moses isn't there when you have questions or you have doubts? What happens when Moses is no longer there to lead you into the promised land and instead everyone's looking at you to lead them? Suddenly, whereas before you could sort of just be spoon-fed the faith, now you have to find, cook, chew on, and digest your own faith, which is harder because it's now up to us. That transition is not an easy one. It's much easier if someone's just feeding you something, but at some point you have to learn how to eat on your own. Suddenly it becomes your responsibility, which takes work. There's a cost now. You might have to give something up in order to do this well. And the fact of the matter is that in most areas of life, we don't like paying that price, the price of discipline. Wouldn't it just be easier if someone else did the work for me? Wouldn't it be easier if someone else could just give me the answers when I need it? Isn't that what Google's for? Why study the Scriptures if I have a specific question, I can just type it in the browser and it'll just give me the answer. So therefore, I don't have to study anymore. Problem solved. But that's not maturity. And when a trial actually comes, if there's not a foundation there, that's going to be a problem. Wouldn't it be easier if someone else was there to always rely on? Wouldn't it be easier if someone else was responsible for my faith? That's how it is for kids. But when you grow up, your faith becomes yours. Alas, it's hard to take that new responsibility. We prefer instead to just leave our faith where it's been. Maybe that's why it's so hard to find mature Christians anymore. Because there's a cost, because it's difficult, because we have to become more proactive and self-sufficient and responsible for our own faith. But then again, it's not a mystery. It shouldn't be that hard. Because God gives us the blueprints. It's this. We have to read it, study it, meditate upon it. It takes consistency and perseverance over the long haul. But it'll change us. So the question we have to kind of end with, I guess, is simply, is it worth it? Is Christian maturity actually something you want? Because if it's not, then it's way easier. Not better, just easier. Do we value this? Like most things of value, there's no quick and easy way to get it. There are no shortcuts here. There's no cramming for the exam. Because at the end of the day, Christian maturity is a function of God's faithfulness and it's a function of our faithfulness over an extended period of time. But that means you can't just wait to do it later. You can't just put it off until you need it and expect it to do anything for you. You can't avoid it and expect to grow deeper as well. This is one of those things where the benefits are cumulative, though I would also add exponential. You don't recognize those benefits at first, but over time, after sustained commitment and effort, they can't be ignored. And in some ways, therefore, it's like anything else of value in your life. To be strong and courageous. To be strong means you have to continually and consistently choose to do the strong thing, to use your strength, whether in a gym or your mental or moral strength. The more you do it, the stronger you get. Not immediately, but slowly and steadily. And while it's hard to see in the moment, if you stick with it over time, you may eventually look around, you may eventually look backwards and say, I've actually become stronger. I've actually gotten myself to a place where someone may actually call me strong. To be courageous means you have to continually decide and continually do the courageous act. Doing one courageous thing does not make you courageous, but consistently choosing courage. Consistently choosing to do what's right even when it's hard. That's what makes you courageous. We are what we consistently do. Which begs the question, what do you consistently do? Who are you becoming? But there are benefits, lots of them, and one of them is simply that over time you start to gather momentum. As you do something more and more, it actually, after a certain point, it actually becomes easier to do because it becomes more and more who you are. But you have to choose to do it. Because to get the benefit of being strong and courageous, you have to be strong and courageous, again and again and again, consistently. To get the benefit of being mature, there's a cost. You have to give up something else so you can choose to do the mature thing again and again and again. And the mature thing, like adulting, is hard because I'd rather do something else, but an adult would pay his bills. So I'd rather go out and play, but I'm going to pay my bills because that's what an adult does. Maturity is the same thing. I'd rather do something else, but I'm gonna not do what I'd rather do. So that I can do what's right. So that I can do what's hard. So that I can do what's mature. And over time, as we choose faithfulness consistently, we become mature. Do you choose to own your own faith? Do you choose to do the faithful thing today and again tomorrow? And I don't know what's going to happen after that, but today I'm going to do it and tomorrow I'm going to do it and we'll talk again tomorrow, despite the costs. Do you choose to believe that it really is worth it? Because for Joshua, it was. He did the work. He did what was hard. He did what was right. Joshua followed God into the promised land, and he didn't just see miracles, but he saw the faithfulness of God. Joshua becomes strong and courageous by consistently choosing to be strong and courageous, and by consistently choosing faithfulness to the scriptures, and by consistently following God. And that's what makes him mature. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would help us become more like Joshua, that you would help us grow in our maturity and faith. Lord, we confess to you that too often we would prefer to choose the easy way. Too often we would prefer to choose the fun way, to choose the immediate way, to choose the thing we want to do right now in the moment. And yet sometimes, more often than not, you call us to do the hard thing, to do the thing that's right, to do the thing that's mature. Lord, help us see the value in a consistent and sustained direction. Help us see the value of being mature and strong and courageous. And then give us the strength and courage and maturity to do those things in the moment. And help us build those moments again and again and again. Help us become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, who continually did the faithful act, continually did the mature act, so much so that we can now look at his life and say, well, that's the example for us. That's the goal for us, a life of consistent faithfulness, again and again and again. Lord, help us be more like him. We pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to do that. Lord, we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ.